Do you, after talking with Renato, do you feel hopeful? Do you feel scared? What do you feel?
No, I mean, we're fucked. Yeah. Let's face it. But we can. I don't have a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know the one thing I can control. It's kind of like when you're in a relationship and the relationship's a little fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then the counselor says, Stephanie, you can only control your behavior. Yeah. As a result of that, your partner's going to be required to change his behavior because you'll be different.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, great. So I know I can control my behavior. My behavior involves staying, listening to the news, reading, you know, news, you know, stories from news sources, you know, that are, you know, the Washington Post. Right. I'm done with the Times. The Washington Post, the Atlantic. People who are actually reporting news without the angle. God love Rachel and love my MSNBC people.
And Lawrence.
But I need to be as informed as possible from all angles. That doesn't include Fox because that's a fucking cartoon, yeah. Okay? But so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to stay active. I'm going to remain involved politically. I'm going to protest. I'm going to run for office myself at some point.
Wow.
I'm going, you know, these are the things I am going to do. I am going to continue to support and stay active with organizations like NARAL and Planned Parenthood. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that my kids have the freedoms that you and I mm-hmm. have had and still have, you know, as precarious as they may be. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. So my boyfriend or whomever that, you know, that whatever that is, the world is going to have to get used to dealing with me like this.
Yeah.
That ain't changing. How about you?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel hopeful and defeated. You know, I was very hopeful that Trump would see some kind of jail, you know, inside of the jail cell or whatever. Now I'm not so convinced. And I'm also worried about, you know, I'm somebody who keeps insisting that this Russia scandal is bigger than anybody ever talks about. This is something mm-hmm. that has, this trumps Trump. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, Trump is bad. Mm-hmm. But Putin is a Soviet KGB guy and right. he doesn't fuck around, you know, and they have been looking for ways in for decades, and then they got the way in, and now they've got the president. So I don't know exactly how far this dribbles down, and you know what it reminds. What the best way for me to describe it is: remember when we had that oil spill, and they were putting all that the dispersants on the oil, so that instead of just seeing a big oil slick from like an above camera angle, the oil was going down into the water and it was kind of netted. And so that way you couldn't really see the oil spill, the optics. They put this dispersant in the ocean so that people flying over couldn't take pictures of big, you know, oil gobs in the ocean. So it went down. So not only did you have the chemical, you had the oil, and they were down kind of like netted. That's kind of how I see Russians in our government. It's like you can't see them on the surface, but they're all kind of there, whether they're actual Russians mm-hmm. or they're Republicans or some politician who's been compromised or had, you know, some kind of information that whether it's Trump or Putin or whoever is holding over their heads. And when I say Putin, I'm just talking generally Russia. Obviously, it's not Putin doing every little thing. He's got his people working for him, and this is what they're doing. And I think that it's kind of freaking me out because our media doesn't just come out and obviously they can't make an accusation that they can't back up, but they can certainly ask the question. You know, I mean, I've learned as somebody on social media that if I don't want to say something, all I have to do is pose it in a question. Do you think this? And then everybody answers. So that's all anybody in the media has to do is say, well, this is curious. Why would this be happening? Or, you know, why is he seeing it a little bit more after the Helsinki summit or the treason summit or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, and I hope that it stays because my take on this is that, as Renato said, it's not going to be one person. It's not going to be Bob Mueller. It's not going to be You know, the next person who runs for president or whatever. Yeah. It's the people. It's the people and it's the media, because the media controls the narrative. Just as Fox News controls the Republican narrative, the media in general controls the overall narrative. And if they don't, if they're too busy worrying about looking hysterical instead of just being blunt, we need to be blunt. I mean, you know, Scotland, some, I think it was like, I don't remember the name of the paper, but there was some paper in Scotland that just laid it all out. And they weren't being... you know, they weren't name calling. They weren't being snarky. They were just literally laying out what's going on in a way that the American media is not. And that's,
we reject you.
Yes.
You disgust us.
Yes. It's troublesome to me.
I screenshotted it because I just, this is how I live. I'm going to tell you what the hell it said. It said this. It's the Daily Record, Scotland's champion. It said, "Excuse us, Mr. President, but we don't want your hate. We don't want your greed. We don't want your boasts, and we don't want you." And it was a picture of Uncle Sam with Trump's hideous, pitted face on it. Yeah. God, love you, Bob. It's how I feel. But Kimberly, you nailed it. Renato nailed it. It's not Mueller can't save us. What's going to save us is us. Mm-hmm. What's going to save us is us getting out there and voting. That's it.
Yeah.
And voting and demanding that our elected officials make sure that the voting is safe. You know, that we can vote with confidence, that our fucking vote is counting.
Well, that's
and that
the
it
most
isn't
important
being hacked.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. That's the only way. This isn't a quick fix. This isn't one person comes in, Mueller drops the fucking, you know, legal papers on the table and says, "Okay, everybody, here he goes. Lock him up."
Yeah.
It isn't happening. That's not happening.
No.
That's not happening. But here's something that's really delicious. So in my, you know, I told you I was sick as shit yesterday, and I made this bad move, which was called be on Twitter in between writhing and ill pain and having MSNBC on in the background the whole time. But what's happening is, yes, Paul Manafort is about to, you know, that's happening, right? There are five people who are going to have what is called use immunity.
Right.
By, you know, our girl Joyce Vance laid it out last night, and she explained it to Rachel. Use immunity means in the case against Paul Manafort, and I'll use this as the example. And this is for our listeners. This is worth the fucking $5 right here, everybody. Just hit subscribe right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Use immunity in this case against Paul Manafort means there are five people who have committed crimes that are less than Manafort's. And in this instance, they are able to take the Fifth Amendment in their testimony against Manafort. And as long as they tell the truth, they cannot be prosecuted down the road for their for putting themselves on the line.
And
stating
that motivates
like, you know
them.
What? I committed this crime, but here's some information against Manafort that is so much worse than what I did. I'm going to have use immunity. So I'm immune as I put this testimony forward.
And what's
and I
great,
get to walk away.
What's great about that is the more honest they are, or I should say that they're more motivated to be honest, because if whatever they admit, they can't be tried for in the future. So they could just like get it all out and then they're free. Whatever crimes they committed, then they can get it all out.
But if they perjure themselves on the stand when they're doing this use immunity thing, then all bets are off, and they'll go to jail. So they are very motivated to tell the truth in this case.
Right. And
five of them. Five of them.
I'm so torn. Like I really, you don't have the crystal ball. I don't have the crystal ball. It's so difficult to see or to know how things are going to go. But, you know, it's like every day we just have to watch this play out. You know, I posted yesterday on Facebook that I saw kind of like, I felt that maybe the tide was turning and there was a shift, and people kept arguing with me and saying, "Oh, no, no, no." look, I don't think there's a shift within the base. I don't think there will ever be a shift within the base. The shift has to come from us, from the people, from the media. Mm-hmm. It's always about the people and the media. Because if we are not honest, if we have our head stuck in the sand, or if we normalize what's going on, we're never going to get anywhere. But maybe, hopefully, after this blatant bullshit in Helsinki, which we all know what this walk back was so lame. He like walks it back, but then he kind of goes, you know, winks at his base and then still says a bunch of crap that, oh, it's other people or whatever, many other people or whatever he said. He's so full of shit. But I think that, I don't know. I think that we have to sick that narrative. We have to make sure that the truth is there. We can't worry about the MAGAs. We can't, because they're gone. They're just gone. We're never going to convince them. They're always going to hate us. They've been conditioned now. They listen to Sean Hannity. They listen to all these horrible people who lie to them all the time. And that's who they want to believe. So that's who they believe. I really honestly do think Trump could literally strangle a baby on television and they would find justification for it. And I say that right. Without being sarcastic. They would find a justification for it because they just don't care. It's not even about what they can believe, or they just don't care. They have their anger, and they're holding on to their anger, and that's all it's about. And we just have to outnumber them.
I for one minute the other day thought that maybe the line with the base would be pedophilia.
No, there is no
that
line.
A word? Did I make that up? Is that
no?
A word?
That's a word.
Pedophilia.
Yeah.
Okay. And because we know, you know, there have been reports that, you know, Trump raped a 13-year-old girl, and not just once, but more than once through Jeffrey Epstein or Epstein. You know, they threatened her life if she came forward with the story. And that was all happening right before the election, the 2016 election, right? So, you know, Trump sides with pedophiliacs in Roy Moore. He says that all 11 wrestlers that have come forward to say that Jim Jordan turned a blind eye, that he knew we were being sexually molested by our team doctor, and he walked away from us, and now he's calling us a liar, and Trump believes Jim Jordan, because Jim Jordan is
an outstanding
man, very strong. You know, this is, but that isn't even enough. So I take that statement back, right? I believe that what it's come down to is we are, and I'm talking about you, me, and the rest of the people, you know, in the resistance, for lack of a better term, but the rest of the people who oppose Trump's agenda, let's just put it that way, and the Republican agenda, which is, I am white, I have money, and I love my power, and I'm going to do anything to make sure that we maintain that power forever. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, that verges on fascism.
Yes.
Okay? And that's the Republican agenda. Yep. And that's the, you know, Trump is in bed with a dictator, a murderous dictator who is an adversary of my beloved United States of America. And you know what? Fuck that noise, because I'll tell you that I love being an American. I love what this country stands for. I love that I come from immigrants on both sides. I love that I'm married to an Ashkenazi Jew on one side and a third generation Virginian on the other. I love this rich culture. I love that we were able to go back to Virginia last November, 2 days before the special election in Virginia. And my dear, by marriage, 80-something-year-old aunties came to me and my husband and said, we are mortified. We can't believe we supported this man. What do we do? And we looked them in the eye and we told them, you go to the voting booth on Tuesday and you vote Democrat down ballot. And as far as I know, they did.
Wow.
Because guess what? Ralph Northam is the governor of that state. Mark Herring is the attorney general. What's the, who's the beautiful transgender person? Why can't I think of the name?
I can't
House
remember.
Of, you know, the House of Delegates or whatever they are. You know what I'm saying? That's the resistance at work. That's decent people coming together and saying, I'm not standing for this shit anymore. That's not the base. Certainly.
No.
My sweet aunties are not the base, but they're lifelong Republicans who went party over person.
Well, that there's a girl that I'm friends with on Facebook, and I knew her in high school. Actually, I should say I knew of her. I never actually even had a conversation with her. But then, you know, you find people that you went to high school
Facebook,
with.
Oh, Facebook. We're all best friends now. Come on.
So, and she's totally part of the resistance. And it's fascinating because, you know, she came from Torrance, California, which is a beach town in California. Mm-hmm. And now she lives, in Blair, Nebraska. I can't even imagine.
What a change.
It would just be different. I can't imagine what it would be like to grow up in this beach town and then move to the middle of the country where it's so, it reminds me of, did you ever see Bridges of Madison County?
Of course.
Okay. So you know that, remember, it's just made me think of that scene because when I found out that she lived in Blair, and I'm going to get back to my point in a minute, but when I found out she lived there, I Googled Blair and I wanted to look at like downtown Blair. And I swear to God, it looked like a picture right out of the 1950s. It was like, I couldn't find anything that looked new and modern. I'm sure that there's got to be some areas in that part of the world that are new and modern, but I couldn't find them online. Anyway, I just kept thinking, wow, what must it be like for her? I mean, she's been living there for a long time and she seems quite happy. But anyway, she had said, you know, once... I think this was definitely before Trump ever became president. She privately messaged me and talked about her husband. And from what I can understand, she loves her husband and has a very good relationship with him. But she made kind of like this comment, like, yes, I'm working on my patriarchal husband or whatever. So I'm sure that while he's probably not, Mr. Misogynist jerk, he's got, you know, a little bit of the patriarchy going on and she fights him on it, but they clearly have a good relationship and they love each other. The other day she posted online, and I'm going to assume that she's talking about him because she said something like, the most intelligent man I know has just said that he regrets his vote for Trump and he'll be voting for Democrats.
Yay.
So I'm going to assume that that was her husband, and I think that he sees it. So he's certainly not a MAG. He's just a conservative. You know, he's just a conservative guy.
Right.
That we may disagree on certain issues and policy, but he's a good guy. You know, maybe because he lives in a red state in the middle of the country, the whole, you know, he certainly didn't grow up, or he doesn't live in a blue kind of metropolitan city where. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't patriarchal men who live there, but it would be hard to overcome things that you learn and what you've been exposed to your whole life. So, little bit by little bit, I do think that it's hopeful. But we have to come out in such big numbers because we have so much to overcome. You know, interference, excuse me, by the Russians. We have to, you know, the gerrymandering. And all of that. But before we go, we have to do that list.
Let's do the list.
So I'm just going to let you go. And if Bob wants to chime in with anybody, he's feel.
Yeah, I want Bob to chime in because, you know, one of the things that I like to say, and this, you know, I hesitated doing this because I don't want to sound like a lecherous, like the opposite.
But you are. We already know you are.
But really, it's not about, this isn't about sex.
No, of course
although,
it's not.
There's something about just brilliant.
There's
people
like sexiness. There's
sexiness because what we're doing right now and the way we are fighting and the way we believe that we must fight because of what's at stake. There's something raw. There is something visceral and super passionate about this whole thing, which for me is like the hottest thing in the entire world.
Yes.
So when we see people like, and I even told you last week, when Rod Rosenstein stepped up to that pulpit and laid it out and put those indictments out there, I think I texted you, Rod Rosenstein is so sexy right now, or something like that. Because Rod Rosenstein, it's not about I'm a Republican or you're a Democrat and we are on different sides of the aisle. This is about our democracy is at stake. And we are, and I don't give a shit what that dumb, ill-equipped, ignorant criminal in the White House has to say. This is going down right now. Okay. And so I have this running list in my mind of, you know, call them resistance fighters, call them just people who are speaking truth to power. Oh, speaking of which, not a single person isn't on the list. Steve Schmidt.
Oh, yes.
I've got this running list in my head of like people that I kind of want to do mentally over just all this shit. So at the top of the list, and you're with me, and I know Bob's with me too, because he was laying some out. So I started taking notes when we were getting ready for Renato. Number one. And maybe fucking number one, like literally, Malcolm Nance. It doesn't get any better. I stop whatever I'm doing. I'll walk into an appointment late if he's on the radio and I'm in my car. I will stop. My kids will have to just get the hand. I'm sorry, Malcolm Nance is on. Okay?
Yeah.
With the one eye that's kind of a little bit squinty, and he knows everything, and you know that the dude speaks Arabic, and he's probably killed people who were doing bad things with his bare hands. Okay?
Just FYI, Bob just finished interviewing him.
Yep.
So Bob's going to put his podcast up, so that's going to be a good one.
Bob, does he deliver in every possible way I'm describing right now?
Oh, yeah. 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 He describes himself as Shouty McShoutface right now. So
he's just got balls of steel.
And he was every bit of that. And the thing that I like most is that he's calling this like he sees it. He's saying what needs to be said, and he's not sugarcoating. Which makes it all at once terrifying and also informative, because we need to know exactly what's going on from someone who actually worked inside the intelligence community, who is actually overseas, who actually knows what Russia's all about, who worked for the NSA as an analyst, and so on. And so I think we can pretty heavily rely on his expert opinion on this.
Well, yep. I'm going to go with Steve Schmidt, too, because I absolutely adore him. And
Steve Schmidt. Hillary Clinton.
I fucking love him.
Hillary Clinton. The most articulate, like, dictionary-minded.
No shit. He's the one that's got the best words.
And he says Clinton.
I know. But, you know, he's just got that mid-Atlantic thing. Strong mid-Atlantic accent. I love, like, I always tell Bob, it's like, it's a couple of them. It's what's his name? What's his name on the, why can't I think of his name? Tuesday. What's his name?
Chris Matthews.
Thank you. So Chris Matthews and Michael Steele and Steve Schmidt, like I see them all on this like deck in like Northern Virginia, having, you know, beers and talking. And so they so represent that mid-Atlantic upper crust, you know, kind of lifestyle. But Steve Schmidt is awesome because, I mean, he came up with the slobbering servility when he was talking about the way Pence behaves. You know, but everything that comes out of that man's mouth, he's so smart. And, you know, I mean, I will say this, that I do believe all Republicans who participated in anything Republican up and, you know, helped create what we have right now. I do believe that they helped create it. But I also don't look at Steve Schmidt, because clearly he was McCain's campaign manager in 2008. I know he was not pleased with Sarah Palin.
Please.
You know, but
that was a fuck up royale.
Right. I don't hold him accountable per se, because I feel like, all right, well, up until this crazy shit, you know, this Trump crazy shit and all the weirdos in the Tea Party, I mean, Republicans are just going to be Republicans. I don't agree with them. I don't agree with most of their policies and most of their, in some cases, we can all get along. But like, you know, if they're quote unquote pro-life, which is really forcing women to give birth, I don't agree with them, and a number of other things. I don't agree. So in some ways I can, you know, but I can also say that, you know, Democrats have their part to play in all of this, because I think they could have been a little bit more proactive in 2010 and 2014. I think we all have our part to play. People who didn't vote, you know, so even though I'm going to say, you know what, some of these people on the Republican side, yeah, I mean, I've seen the argument, they got us here. Okay, fine. In it, to a degree, they did. To a degree, the Democrats got us here, because they didn't do enough in certain elections. But we're here. And since we're here, you know, there's the difference of the people who are going along with what's happening and the people who are resisting it. And Steve is strong. he left the Republican Party and he's an independent. And so did Joe Scarborough, which is not on my list. But anyway.
Joe Scarborough. I don't do my, it's weird. My husband likes Morning Joe. And I just, first of all, Joe cuts Mika off constantly, which that alone, I can't take it. Mm-hmm. I love that other cute guy. He's got like a cute boy name, but I can't remember. He's the other anchor. He's good. I can't, who cares?
I don't know. I don't watch.
Let's go. Let's add a couple more highlights to the list because of course, Rod Rosenstein.
Yes.
Joyce Vance.
Yes. She is the bomb.
The bomb.
She's so smart.
So smart, so measured, so knows her shit, so doesn't get ruffled. Another one along, and we're talking about women, and I really meant what I said to Renato. Like, women, first of all, we have babies if we decide. We have our periods for God only knows how many decades and deal with that shit. We have been interrupted, passed over for promotions. We go through menopause. Like, those are just some of the physical things. But then, like, what we endure on a daily basis, women have had to be quiet in many situations for far too long. Not really me or you, but many of us.
Well, we've had our moments.
We've had our moments. Of course, we've sat back while men have objectified us publicly, whether it's been in a work situation or, you know, whether it was the guy who came up behind me in the bar that I barely knew and grabbed both of my tits while I was watching Bill Weir play at the Sweetwater. And, you know, I mean, like, we could do hours of shows where that sort of stuff has happened to us, but no more, no more. And I think that women who have lived a little and who have had to experience that stuff, like, no more is just our credo now, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I said to Renato, I think an unwise person is the person who underestimates what we women are capable of, what you know, that we've had enough and that we're taking matters into our own hands to get shit done. And so along those lines are these heroes of mine, Joyce Vance, Jill Winebanks.
Jill Winebanks is so cool. And her pins. She's so fun with those pins. And her accent.
Shannon Watts.
She's got that like Illinois accent. Yeah, Shannon Watts is amazing.
Come on.
And then you know who else is, and she's not on television, but it's R.A., what is it? R.V. Wonk? She's Caroline.
Oh, RVA Wonk.
RVA Wonk. She's Caroline on Twitter. She's amazing too. She's so smart. She breaks things down and I love her tweets.
I need that talk to me like I'm a 4-year-old sort of delivery.
I absolutely
which
do.
Which is good. Yeah. Renato helps with that too. It's so great for people like me. Okay. I'm going to venture back into the man side of things. And I'm going to put at the top of the list, and we didn't discuss this earlier, so I have a present for you, Eric Swalwell.
Oh, yes.
Richard Painter.
Yes.
What the hell?
Richard Painter's
You know he's
cool.
running for Senate.
Yeah, I know.
But
I don't know if I would put him
Tina?
In the group that I want to do.
Well, I don't want to do him. I'd like his mind, though. And I love, like, when he talks about the sheer stupidity of this criminal who is in the White House. I mean, I am an ethics attorney who for 2 terms worked with George W. Bush. This is a disgrace to America. And by the way, Painter for Minnesota.
Yes, exactly. And then,
He's been on the DL lately because he's running for Senate.
Right. But then you had also mentioned before we came on the air, John Meacham.
Oh, I love
him. He's so smart and he's so like Washington, D.C. You know, he's just like
he's so old, Republican. You know that,
school,
right?
Yeah. Old school D.C. But he's
delightful.
He's delightful and he's smart and he knows what he's talking
and
about.
And while we're on the smart sort of historian angle, Michael Beschloss.
Yes. He's always on Rachel.
Always
and
on
Ted
Rachel.
Lieu. And Ted Lieu.
Ted Lieu.
Oh my God. How much do I love Ted Lieu? He is like so fucking awesome.
Here are the politicians. Here are the politicians I love. Chris Murphy. Ted Lieu. Eric, of course. Adam Schiff. And we know how I feel about him and what I would do to him.
Yeah, you,
given
were,
the
you would throw him all around.
I'd bat him around. Like, it would just be crazy.
And then there's Ron Wyden. Is it Ron Wyden? Is that his name? From Oregon?
Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Oregon's course, got it
and
going
then there's
on.
Elizabeth Warren.
I got her. I wrote down E-dubs. I was waiting to the end. E-dubs. And let's not gloss over. I'm sorry. I'm not happy that this man stepped outside of his marriage. But I got to tell you something. Peter Strzok.
Yeah.
Really struck a nerve with me. Okay.
Well, you know what? I mean, as far as stepping outside of your marriage, I think that, just real brief, obviously, it's not something that's favorable, but I don't really necessarily think it has anything to do with what kind of job you do. I think the exception is somebody like Anthony Weiner, where
that man's sick.
Yeah, that's a little different. Taking pictures of your penis while you're holding your baby next to you, and then also getting caught and then doing it again. And then doing it again. Right. Something is wrong with him. That's a little different than cheating on your spouse, which I certainly don't think is okay, but I don't think that we can judge people on their job
performance. No. And I wasn't, I just said, I'm
not
a fan.
No, I know. I'm just saying it in general.
But yeah. But Strzok was freaking nails.
Yeah,
okay?
He was awesome. I have to stop
I'd like
awesome.
To put a cherry on top if you're ready for that.
I'm ready.
Ali Velshi.
Oh yes. He's great. And I wish that they would give I don't know, either well, I like Ari Melber too. So either one of those could take over for Chris Matthews, who I'm just over. I'm sick and tired of Chris Matthews.
And you know, as Ice Cube once said.
But Ari's cool.
No,
Ari's
see,
cool.
Bob, thank you. Thank you. And as Chuck D, you know, I first of all. That ruins the show for me because I was thinking, first of all, I hate that. Okay, great, Ari. I love fucking punk rock, okay? Super.
But what I
That's
like about
That's not
him
what
is
this
he's
is about.
The, I don't know how old he is, but he's younger. So he's like bringing,
he's young.
He's bringing in younger terminology and you know, people into the sphere. So whatever. I mean, I don't watch him only because of the time. You know, I usually start, I get out and turn on the TV around 7.
Ice Cube
once. on, you know, I start the MSNBC thing lineup at 7 o'clock. So Eastern time, that's Chris Matthews. So I miss Ari by an hour. So yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
all those
let me tell
you said, for sure.
Chris Matthews, I loved him. I told you I saw him when I went and saw The Late Show with Colbert. He was one of the guests and he was beautiful. He was such a phenomenal guest. But I cannot tolerate him on TV.
No,
not at all.
Do I think he's a bad guy? No, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I think he's too old school. Like, I think he's got that like old, and the thing is he gives too much airtime to Republicans who lie, and he calls them out sometimes. The other thing that I can't stand is he asks somebody a question. As soon as they start talking, he starts screaming over them and doesn't let them answer the question.
It's the worst.
And it's so fucking annoying. And so I just said, old school, get out. I don't like you anymore. I like Lawrence. Lawrence is the bomb. He is like, don't fuck with Lawrence and his angry eyes. You do not want to be on his bad side. And he's not afraid to just tell it like it is. He's not afraid to say, get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's like Bob
that
said, we need more alpha liberals. And he is a full-on alpha liberal.
Yes.
Well,
God damn it.
Before we go, I just want to end with, I got some hate mail this morning. And
lucky.
I know.
What did it say?
It said, ugly, old, weird, thin, junky looking hag and your ugly mother and pedo looking father like your BF and ugly friends, etc. So I was he thinks I'm thin.
Wait, what do you mean about BF in there?
That, I don't know. It's like BF boyfriend or
boyfriend.
Best friend?
Yeah, I think it's boyfriend, isn't it?
I don't even know.
Yeah, well, of course,
there was
BF.
There was no punctuation boyfriend. Whatsoever.
What did they say wrong about Bob?
Well, just they said you're BF. So I guess that's boyfriend. So,
but I mean, it wasn't the description pedo father and BF? Is that what he's?
Yeah, it says ugly. It's no punctuation. Ugly old weird thin junky looking hag and your ugly mother and pedo looking father like your boyfriend and ugly friends, etc.
Oh, so I'm like okay, your dad. What? Yeah, I'm like your dad. Both your dad and I look like pedophiles.
Et cetera. Mm-hmm. I love the et cetera part. But I swear I to God, it's too. All, it's like, oh my God, he thinks I'm thin. Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Your dad and I look like pedophiles, and this guy wrote his text to you from his bathtub, bathing in tapioca and wearing rubber pants.
Ew. that's
just disgusting. But yeah, that was kind of funny. That made me laugh. It's like, dude, if you want to insult me, don't call me thin.
Don't call me thin. I like it when they insult me and they want to tell me that I look butch. I'm like, dude, you don't think this is by fucking design? And you've never had a butch like me. So come on, bring it. You got to bring your A game. Bring it now.
Oh my God. All right. Well, just to let everyone know, excuse me, I want to thank the people who did wish me a happy birthday. I don't like to put that on Facebook because I get way too many. I've got like 14,000 followers and 5,000 friends. There's too many notifications. There's too many, direct messages. So I try to avoid making that announcement on Facebook. But I did announce it on Twitter yesterday, and a whole bunch of people wished me happy birthday. So thank you, and I appreciate it. I'm 50 now. I can't fucking believe it, but I am. So there you go.
50 rules.
I know. It's just weird. I mean, it's not even like I'm complaining. I'm not complaining. It's just so strange. You know, I mean, I remember when I was young, 20, 25, whatever, the idea, it's not that I had this thought I was going to die or anything. I just couldn't see myself past 40. I just couldn't even imagine being older than 40. And then I turned 40 and then I turned 50. It's like yesterday I just turned 40. It's like, you know, I mean, my 40s were great because, I started pursuing an acting career in my 20s, and then I pretty much ended that right at the end of my 20s. And then for my 30s, I basically did outside sales. And then in my 40s, I started my book. I became an author. And then that led to my online activism, and it led to this podcast right here. So all of my 40s, I believe, were life-changing. A lot of it was harrowing and scary and awful because of I had left my job. I left doing a regular job and I started, mm-hmm. Trying to earn money doing, writing and things like that, which is not easy to do. And so, I met Bob because of this, and I met you. Yeah. I've met so many people, and I've had such amazing people like Renato and Alyssa Milano. And I look at what I have been able to accomplish, even though I'm probably, I'm certainly not the most accomplished person in the world, but I've been able to accomplish quite a bit in this decade of my 40s. So I am excited to see what happens in my 50s decade, but it's just like, oh my God, like I'm eligible for AARP now. That's like weird.
That's terrifying.
It's just terrifying. It's like, oh my God. And then, with it all the age thing, you can feel like you're 25 in your mind, but then of course your body's like, fuck you. I don't feel 25 today. I feel 80.
Right.
So, I mean, you just have to kind of go between and roll with it.
Yeah. The AARP stuff, I like tear up in a, with fury. Yeah. God damn. I didn't ask for this. I don't want the goddamn free bag. Burn it. But so what? You know what? This 50, like my mom always likes to say, our 50 is not our mother's 50.
No, it is
you know
not.
What I mean? Like it's just, it's different and but it's cool. Like I embrace it. I do love it. Lots of things have come to me in my 50s.
Yeah.
Giant boobs.
Yeah. Well, I got the giant boobs there too.
God, in my 40s, what is that about? But there's other stuff that goes with it too. So thank God I didn't get any hate mail because mine would go fat, butch, loudmouth, fucking beaner. You know what I mean? Like it would have been.
I've had cunt and I've had all of the racist cunt and racist twat and it's been fun. But fuck those people. They're
it's
not.
It's been fun.
They're not going to drag me down. So
no, I love it. Fuels me.
Me.
I was going to tell you one other thing, which now I can't remember. But you know what? Yes, I do remember now. So you talked about all you've been able to accomplish. Like you taking that—that's a huge you gambled on yourself. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm leaving like a day job, right? Where I have insurance and I go and they cut me a check every 2 weeks through ADP, you know, like life is about to change. And you made that happen for yourself. You know, that's a big, that takes major balls, shall we say. And, but you know what I love about like kind of getting older and getting to know myself better and realizing, like, first of all, people make mistakes. That's fine. People screw up. Owning those screw ups, or if you say, hey, look, I didn't mean to screw you over here. I see what I did wrong, or I'm not going to do that again. That all that's great. And that comes for me, that's come with age. And I'm a total late bloomer. Like, I've had to really learn how to grow up over the past maybe 20 years. But what I love about being this age and having accomplishments, you know, a list of accomplishments and things that I can do and sort of reinventing myself as I've gone along, I'm looking forward to this next portion of my life. You know, I'm going to be 53 in November. I definitely have goals. I know what I want to do for the next chapter. And I'm getting started working on that. And it's going to be a leap of faith. And I got to work really hard for these next few years just so that I can help, you know, take care of my family kind of thing. But then I'm going to set it up so that I get to do what I want to do next. You know, you're writing books and you're doing your activism and I'm doing my activism, but I'm about to go off and I'll unveil it soon. But I got, you know, I have goals and I know that I can achieve them. That's the cool thing about getting older. It's like,
Well, you get that confidence. Scenario,
I just got,
You get that confidence.
Totally.
And it's something that, you know,
Steph
Walton
for U.S. Senate. Okay, what?
I'll vote for you.
You got to move back to Cali, girlfriend.
I know. Maybe one day, you never know. But yeah, getting older means getting more confidence. Sometimes it's a little slippery slope there, but yes, definitely there's a certain confidence that comes with age, and there's a certain, I will take no shit from you, where I would have taken shit in my 20s and 30s. And,
hells no.
You know, and it's like after a while, you're just like, fuck off. But anyway, on that note.
Okay, babe.
All right. Well, it was good talking. We're going to do another show probably in 2 weeks. So not sure if we have a guest yet, but we'll keep you posted. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.